आई थिंक देर आर मच मोर जेंटलर वेज ऑफ पेरेंटिंग. पेरेंट्स पीपल बिलीव हमारे कल्चर में है कि इफ यू डोंट डिसिप्लिन एंड पनिश द चाइल्ड देन यू आर रेजिंग सॉफ्टीज, योर चाइल्ड इज नॉट गोइंग टू बिकम टफ. यू वॉन्ट टू रेज टफ चिल्ड्रन, राइट? एक्चुअली रिसर्च इज एक्चुअली द रियालिटी इज कंप्लीटली कॉन्ट्रैक्ट. यस, योर चाइल्ड जस्ट you think you are raising tough children, but internally they are much, much more weaker at a physiological level and psychological level versus children who have been raised with more gentler parenting. The children with gentler parenting have more confidence, more self-worth, more emotional resilience, and higher chances of having a better physical health and mental health than children who are raised with tough parenting.
I think this statement in itself is extremely motivating.
Yes.
For us parents to stop punishing children.
Hi, welcome to Partners in Upbringing. I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs, and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey.
As parents, we are continuously striving to inculcate good habits in our children and to help our children to explore, get new experiences, learn new things, and develop new skills. But in this process, we often face tricky situations where we have to convince our kids to take certain steps to change their manners. And at times, it can be a very long and painful process for both the parents and the children.
It's actually a struggle in every house. And most of the times, we try our best to avoid fights. We give children multiple reminders. We lower our expectations. We give them multiple chances. But kids just know how to push our buttons. They may not really change their ways and mend their ways, leaving us with no other option but to resort to punishments.
True. All of us have heard about positive discipline and know that it is the way we should follow to help our children become more independent and confident beings. But at times, I really wonder, to what extent is disciplining possible without punishments?
So today, to help us solve this constant battle of parents versus punishments, we will be in conversation with a very well-known personality, Ms. Riri Trivedi. Riri is a therapist, a trainer in clinical hypnotherapy, regression therapy, and life coaching with specific focus on adverse childhood experiences. She's a certified trauma-sensitive heart math practitioner and a certified inner child integration therapist from International Association for Integration Therapy and Training, USA. Riri is based in Ahmedabad, Gujarat and is the co-founder of Wellness Space. We will be sharing the link to her website and her social media handles in our show notes. So do have a look in case you need her help. Hello, ma'am. Welcome to Partners in Upbringing.
Hi, thank you for having me here, and I would be looking forward to sharing whatever I know, I have learned, understood, and been trained in as far as positive parenting goes. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent myself, so yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you on board today.
Yeah.
Ma'am, punishing children was not a big deal when we were growing up, but today it is. And that is what I believe is the root cause of this constant battle in our head, whether to punish our children or to not. So can you help us get some clarity on this?
Yeah. So, well, punishment was very common when we were growing up, because back then there was no research or there was no understanding on what are the consequences of punishment, consequences on the physical health, emotional health or mental health of the child. Today, there is more and more awareness. And hence, today, we are now really questioning this punishment approach as far as parenting goes. There are multiple reasons why punishment is not encouraged, because first of all, the very simple reason is punishment itself is a very negative word. When you're punishing a child, you are essentially making the child feel that he or she has done something wrong. He or she deserves to be punished. And the child usually ends up feeling humiliated, shamed. If you are punishing with a timeout, the child feels isolated, sometimes even helpless and angry. And what we find out is punishment doesn't necessarily teach the child anything positive. Ultimately, why are we doing all this? The reasons for punishing is also, like you started the podcast with the sentence that we want to teach good things to our children, right? Mm-hmm. And when they don't learn the good things we want to teach, we punish them. But punishment does not anyway teach them the good things. It just temporarily, just to avoid the humiliation and the fear and the pain and the shame, they will temporarily alter their behavior to suit what you want them to do. Sometimes they don't even do that. Sometimes they end up rebelling. So punishment has not proven to give the outcome that you want. Hence, we do not encourage punishment. Instead, there are much more, positive ways to teach the same thing to the child. The problem is punishing is easy because we have grown up with generations of punishment, right? So punishing comes very easily. In fact, many moms tell me even slapping comes very easily. So they have this built up anger and they give one chapat, then the anger goes down. So they feel like, okay. So punishing, slapping oftentimes is an easy way out. But when you look at positive parenting, parents need to do some work on themselves to be able to stay in the state of balance, not get triggered, and follow the guidelines of positive parenting, which is difficult, which is why, it's difficult and hence not very commonly practiced. But the good news is increasingly parents are now approaching it with an open mind, especially when we share the research, on neuroscience, brain studies, psychology, psychiatry, on what punishment and physical punishment and, psychological punishment does to the child. When parents recognize this and know this, then they are more open to positive parenting and discipline.
Ma'am, just taking from, where you had said that parents have to work on it and slapping and punishing comes easy. That's true because, it happens after a couple of, warnings that you give to your child. That don't do this, don't you at least say it 5 times, 6 times, you lose it. And then you happen to take action. So you rightly said that it may not give up the kind of outcome that you want. But in such case, what should we do when the child is not taking you seriously? They are not taking your word seriously.
So my question is always to ask why. Always go to the root cause. Why is your child not listening? Children are not inherently born to not listen, right? I mean, as a parent, we must understand that there has to be a reason why the child is behaving this way. Is the child not even understanding what you're trying to teach? Is the child looking at the same thing very differently? Like you may think brushing is extremely important. Maybe your child doesn't think it is important, right? So as parents, or maybe your child is so fed up of you reminding that now to rebel, the child is not listening to you. Or there is a possibility that the child is angry about something else and taking it out on this activity that you've given. So first step is, if your child is consistently not listening, then all the more important that you don't lose your cool, but you try to understand the why behind that. And the why, the child will only answer for you. So it is good to sit with the children, even if they are as young as 4 and 5 and 8, you can sit with them and tell them what is happening. Why I'm seeing this, that you are not following this, though I am telling you 2-3 times, what is going on? Yeah. What do you feel about this? Yeah. So most of the time children are not heard. We don't even want to listen to what they feel about brushing their teeth and taking a bath. We just want to impose it because we think as adults, as 40, 30 year olds, we think it is the right thing to do. Does a 5-year-old brain and mind even understand that that is the right thing to do? So I tell parents, can you please put yourself in the shoes of your children and try to see if do you understand the same thing from their point of view? If you don't, then please make your communication, whatever you want them to do, try to do it in a way that children understand. No child is born to just contradict you all the time. Another thing is, there is oftentimes this happens when there is no connection with the child. So there is a lot of hostility between the parent and child. If the child really, if you are connected with your child emotionally, then such situations happen less. But if there is already hostility, and already the hostility comes in because of constant nagging, criticizing, correcting all the time, and very few moments of real connect, real communication, real compassion, warmth, understanding, and conversations. That is when the hostility builds up. When there's hostility, you cannot let, then only force will work. But when there is connection, then you can jointly solve the, like a very good way to work is sit with your child and say that, I see this as a problem. Do you even see it as a problem? If the child also agrees that, yes, I cannot wake up on time and, you know, and that is why I cannot take a bath and that is why I'm late for school every day, then it's a problem. Then if the child also sees it as a problem, then you have to tell the child that how can we solve this together, right? Lot of times children's issues become mother's issues. I know so many moms who say that my child doesn't go to school, it is my problem. My child doesn't eat food, it is my problem. My child doesn't finish the homework, it is my problem. Now, because it is my problem, I'm trying to force my child to solve because it is my problem. It doesn't work that way.
And then we resort our solution to on them.
Exactly, exactly. So first of all, you have to work in partnership with your children and help them. And at any age, children can understand that partnership. So that is the approach. That's the fundamental rule of positive discipline.
You were mentioning about steps which parents should take for positive discipline. So I believe step one is to ask why. Step two is to be in their shoes. What else can we do?
See, first thing we must understand is that when children are dysregulated. So suppose you have, you know, there is a situation where the child is angry, hurt, you know, throwing a tantrum or just generally screaming. Most of the times parents also react in a very strong way. So parents, first of all, react. The most important thing is that means the child is anyway dysregulated. If you understand the child's brain, yeah, when the child is dysregulated, angry, upset or fearful, child is operating from the lower brain, which is an instinctual, impulsive brain, right? Not from the upper brain, which is a more rational logic brain that can help you. Yeah, logic, rational, mindfulness, empathy, sympathy. Now, if the parents also start reacting from their own lower brains, which is again out of fear, out of anger, out of impulse, then there are two people at war. First thing is, if the child is dysregulated, the parents have to recognize that my child right now is in a state of complete dysregulation. So I need to step back. I need to operate from my upper brain and see how I can address this. Secondly, the thing is that when children are dysregulated, they are in no mood to listen to you. So that time, all this gyan and bhashan is not going to work. Even asking questions on what are you feeling, tell me about it, they may just counter, it will just backfire. That time, it is best to just step back. Yeah, sometimes hold the child if your child is okay with it. You know, little children, I'm talking of not teenagers, mind you, little children, you know, if they are just dysregulated, hold them, rub their back, give them a hug till they calm down. Once they calm down, then you know that the breathing is slowed down, they are more relaxed, their bodies are relaxed. That is when you ask them, what happened? What was going on? Yeah, usually behind every tantrum, behind every zid, behind every breakdown, there is something that the child is not able to understand or the child is not able to express. So as parents, we have to be very mindful. We have to be very balanced.
If you are enjoying this conversation, please subscribe to us and give us a 5-star rating on the platform you're listening to. Thank you.
If we are going to get triggered because of our children, then we are coming down to their level. Then we will never be able to help them. So that is the second thing I would like to say. The third thing I would like to say is you have to be firm and consistent also. Like you can't, if the child is crying too much, then one day give in, then next day be firm, then third day again give in. So inconsistency, nahi hona chahiye. You should be consistent in the message that you're giving to your child, that these things are yes, these things are a no. Yeah. Another thing I would also say is talk. Help your child to recognize more and more when he or she is using the lower brain or the upper brain. You can do this with the hand analogy. the lower brain, upper brain, and when the lid flips and when you lose control. So you can increasingly engage the child in understanding his or her own self. Okay, where are you operating from? Has the lid flipped? Can you now start, take a deep breath, see if you can operate from your upper brain kind of a thing. So we have to, as parents, first of all, not react, not be dysregulated ourselves, and understand, build trust and connection, be consistent and firm, yeah, and avoid guilt-based or fear-based methods. Most of the parents are very guilt-based and fear-based, like, oh my God, if you do this, this is going to happen. If this is going to happen, this is going to happen. You know, they are constantly communicating fear, or they are working out of guilt. Because I beat you up now, because I punished you, oh my God, now let me compensate by doing something better. Avoid these things. These are two extreme things. So these are some of the guidelines you can keep
sometimes
in mind.
Yeah, sometimes we are even scared that if they don't do that, they will fail at a task, and we don't let them experience failure.
Yeah, exactly. So
because it again comes to us that, oh my God, I raised a child who failed at a task.
So a large part of my work in parenting is about preparing the parents to be okay with their child failing, falling. And that is when, like the other day I was talking to a parent and she said, my son, you know, he just can't wake up on time to go to school. And how many times I'm trying, you know, it's my problem now. I get stressed out and then I scream at him and shout at him and blah, blah, blah. Then I said, how old? The child is 8 or 9 years old. At 9 years, a child knows he or she has to go to school. And there are consequences if he doesn't go to school, right? So we had to tell her, please make it the child's problem. Like, sit with the child and say, listen, do you think this is a problem? And you need to go to school. So how can we both work together so you can go to school? If you have this conversation, you are getting an outcome. You are getting solutions. But if you are every day saying, get up, you don't go to school, my problem, you're not going to school, oh my God, what a kid you are, you know, how do I even solve this? Then it's not going to work. So, and children have to, in age-appropriate way, they have to experience the consequences of certain things. Like, sometimes I have to tell parents, it's okay if your child doesn't take bath for 3 days. What is your fear about? They are afraid about, you know, my child is going to be isolated. Let 3 kids come and say, you're smelling, you're stinking. The child will automatically learn to take a bath. We are too scared to let our children experiment. We are too scared to let our children fall. It's like saying a bicycle, seeko, but don't fall down. How is that going to be possible? If your child has to learn the bicycle, then he'll fall. There will be bruises. There will be hurt. There will break a bone. They'll bleed. You have to nurture that. You have to put a band-aid and send him back again. So he will ride again.
So he knows the ways of life.
Absolutely.
Ma'am, another thing which I wanted to, you had said that most of the times the misbehavior is because of this constant nagging that parents kind of do. We kind of do that because we want them to be disciplined at the end of the day, especially when the child is above 5 years. Then we want them to do things independently. How do we strike this balance? Like, kaise karna chahiye? Kitna let go karein? Kitna, you know, pakad ke rakhein? How do we do this?
So I tell all the parents that follow the 80-20 rule, simply because, see, if you as adults, with your adult brain, you have the capability to make a list of 25 things you need to do and tick it off one by one. But for a 5-year-old child, a 6-year-old child, already there is so much of things he or she has to do and learn at school, then at home, then with friends, then in hobby classes, tuition classes, all of that, you know. And I think while the child's brain is very, very growing at a very alarmingly fast rate versus adults, you know, in its complexity, in its size, all of that, there is a limitation on how much a child can be trained at what age. So when parents become overly ambitious, like they think that, yes, putting the shoes is most important, changing clothes is most important, brushing teeth is most important. So they will have these 15 things they think is most important for the child to do. But the child cannot do all of it, right? And that is where the whole problem starts. So I would say to every parent at any point of time, follow the 80-20 rule. 80% of what you have in your checklist for your child, please remove it and stick to only 20%, which are most important for your family, for your child, and you at that point. So out of, say, 10 things, pick 2 that you consistently tell your child to do. Let go of the others. Once the child gets into the habit of doing those 2 things, then pick another 2. What we do is, for a little small brain, we bombard them with so many things, and then it becomes a toxicity, you know, constantly reminding. And like I said, if you feel that a child is not able to remember all those 15 things he has to do, then sit with the child and explain, please do these two things. Remaining eight, I will not remind you. Okay, let's agree that can you do these two? Let the child pick the two things. Or you and the child agree, ke main ye do cheez pakka karunga. You will see wonders over here. Then once the child is comfortable to do the two things, you will have to nag less, you will have to remind less, you will have to scold less. Now you are building connection. Then pick up the next two things. So do it slowly, do it gently. At a time, don't bombard the child with so much because it is stressful. Trust me, for us, what seems very easy may not be that easy for the brain of a four-year-old, five-year-old, eight-year-old. Their brains have not yet fully developed. We have to keep that in mind. I would recommend all parents to read up on how the child's brain is, what parts develop, what parts continue to develop till they are in their mid-20s, how this brain's interconnections happen, what happens to the brain when the child gets triggered, when the child is stressed. When the parents read about this, they are able to make more informed decisions.
Since you said that 5 years is the children are still developing, the brains are not yet formed, and it goes on until teenage. Now that's kind of scary, but still, you know, in our Shastras, in our, you know, Vedas, they've written that until 5 years, don't discipline your children. After 5 years, you can, you know, you're allowed to be strict with them and you're allowed to discipline them. So can you help us understand age-wise how can parents look at positive disciplining? When do we start the process?
When do we start to become stricter as well?
See, there is a difference between being strict and being abusive and punishing. You can be firm and you can be kind. You can be strict and you can be compassionate. Yeah, you can be strict. You can give positive discipline while being strict. Let's not associate or understand or interpret strict as beating or emotionally abusing the child, right? So that is the first thing you must understand, that they are not this or that. You can be strict, but you have to be strict with the ultimate goal in mind. Ki main sikhana kya chahta hu bacche ko. Ab wo 5 saal ke bacche ko jo sikhana hai, that will be very different from 10, 12 years ke bacche ko kya sikhana hai versus teenagers ko kya sikhana hai, right? And the methods will change accordingly. I would say that one consistent guideline that we must have is, but I would say that training them starts from the age of 2 and 3 also, when you do the potty training, you know, when you teach them to eat food with their own hands, kind of a thing. So training starts early on, but the underlying principle always has to be that what am I trying to teach the child, and is the child learning what I'm trying to teach? Very simple. And is my method helping the child to learn, or is my method causing something else? See, every child is unique. What might work for your first child might not work for your second child. It will fall flat. Yeah, because every child is unique. Parents also change with every child in their own personality, in their own outlook. So parenting also changes from child to child. So I would always, I'm not the one to give strict guidelines ke aisa hi age to age ye hoga, age to age hoga. But I would always say that follow these some broad guidelines, which are no physical abuse. All disciplining can happen without any sort of abuse and violence. Okay. Another thing is, like I said, always, always build trust and connection, and try to find out is the child learning from your disciplining methods? Because the end goal is not to discipline. The end goal is to teach the child something. Parents get caught up in, mujhe discipline karna hai bachcho ko. But discipline kyun karna hai? Taki wo kuch seekhe. Haan, toh ye discipline pe hum atak jate hain. Hum ye nahi samajhte ki iske baad bachcha seekh raha hai ki nahi seekh raha hai. That is lost. So we are not actually having the ability to see the end goal. We are seeing the midpost.
Right.
So these are the guidelines. Ke kya karna chahiye? And most of the time, whatever age of the child, 5 year or 10 year or 20 years, when the child is under stress, please understand, when the child, and the stress for a child could be because of you screaming, because of you threatening, because of you withholding love, or it could be because you have beaten up, slapped or spanked or pinched or whatever. When a child is under stress, okay, That is when the reptilian brain takes over, which is the fear center of the child. That is when the whole physiology of the child is in a different state. There is a lot of stress hormones in the blood. There is cortisol in the blood. And when this cortisol in the blood goes to the brain, it hampers the child's ability to learn new things, to memorize things, to concentrate and focus. This is research. This is neuroscience research. So parents must understand that when they're trying to teach the child something new, if the child is under stress, the child is not going to learn. Okay? So it becomes a vicious cycle. The more pressurized, the more punishment, the more fear you induce, the less and less the child will learn. Instead, when the child is more relaxed, the maximum learning happens. So whenever you want to discipline your child, when the child is in a state of stress, step back. Do not discipline that time. That time, just do damage control, which is if the child is beating somebody, stop that. If the child is howling, crying, throwing tantrum, avoid. Just be there. Hold the space. Let the child get over it. Only when the child is calm and relaxed can you ask them what happened. Can you teach them what they can do and cannot do? And can you actually impart any new lessons or learnings? Okay, so the first lesson and most important is when your child is in stress, no learning is going to come. There's going to be no positive outcome. And your child will most likely be in stress if you are at stress. Because children are very, very intricately connected to the mothers. Now, all these feminists, you know, sit on my head and say, why mothers? You are putting all the pressure on mothers. The point is, it is biological. Because the mothers have kept the children in their womb for 9 months, children inherently are very, very connected to the mothers, which means every littlest, smallest gesture of the mother does not go unnoticed by the child. So if the mother is walking on the street and the mother has a fear of dogs and the child is holding the mother's hand, and if the mother sees a dog and the muscles also tighten, the child is going to recognize and say, okay, I have to be afraid of the dog. This is how children are so sensitive and tuned to their mother. You know, when mother walks into the room, from the walk, from the energy, from the body language, the children pick up whether today mommy is in a good mood, mommy is stressed, mommy is anxious. They may not be able to articulate it, but it is very implicitly experienced and understood by their body. So as mothers, more than children, I always tell to mothers, please work on yourselves. If you guys are relaxed, if you are balanced, if you are enjoying your parenting journey and not taking it very seriously, your children are going to also do the same. But if you take your role as mother, motherhood is like your job, is like your project, is like your career, then you are in for trouble. Because then there is going to be anxiety, pressure, comparison, performance pressure, achieving goals, all that will come into your parenting journey. And that will build stress. And when you are stressed, your child will be stressed. And then the whole thing will just go into a different spiral.
First, we have to work on ourselves in order to help.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Ms. Riri, there are many small activities or tools which we see for positive disciplining, like give them points, I believe, have a chart. Some people say if you get 10 points, you get $1. Something which will motivate them to do what is right more often. So would you suggest or recommend any of such tools or activities?
See, there is different perspectives and styles of parenting. So like I would say that I'm not the only authority. There are different people who say different things. But I would always refrain from bribing and, gifting the child things when they've done something nice all the time. Because then they are going to associate doing good with getting a gift. And then they will only want to do good and be good when they are getting something in return. And if they are not getting, they will not. So it's a wrong association. So I would say that when your children have done something nice, appreciate it. Okay. Mm-hmm. If they don't do nice, ask them why and what can you both agree you should do for the child to be motivated. But do not always reward them every single time, because you are setting a wrong precedence. Then there will be very entitled children you are bringing up who will say, oh, today because I was nice to my sister, I deserve a chocolate. Tomorrow, if I'm nice to my teacher, I should get this. No. The child should know that I'm doing this because I want to be a nice person, or because I want to be accepted, or because I want to do well in school and it is my need. That's why I'm doing it, not so that I get a reward. So I'm not somebody who would always bribe and reward a child. But yes, I would appreciate specific actions that are done well. Even today, when my children are not teenagers, they are adults, I still appreciate. I've made it a habit if they do anything nice, I would always acknowledge and say, wow, you know, I really liked that you did this, or I really loved it that today you took out time and spoke to me, for example, to a teenage kid, right? That is good. Children, everybody loves acknowledgement. Everybody loves appreciation. But I would refrain from bribing. I'm not somebody who would either bribe or punish. I don't work with the carrot and stick approach, and I don't recommend it either, because then the carrot, you will always expect a carrot. Why? You know, appreciate the good work.
Would you recommend appreciating in front of others as well, often?
Sometimes, yes, depends from child to child. So I would always say seek balance in everything. Like, again, you know, always praising your child for everything is also not good. Like, you know, and don't praise the child so much as you praise a specific act. Because when you're praising a specific act, this is for smaller children. You're teaching the child that this thing that I did is good. Yeah. But if you're continuously telling the child, oh, you are the best. Oh, you are the best. Oh, you are better than everybody. Oh, you are great. Again, when you overdo it, you are raising children who are entitled, who are constantly seeking validation, who are constantly seeking appreciation. So keep it balanced, you know, because the risk I run is when I say such things, you know, then parents take it by the book and then they just follow it blindly. I would always say, use your inner guiding light to decide where is that balance. You know, if your child has no confidence, if your child feels I'm not good enough, then yes, appreciating in front of people is going to do wonders to that child. But if your child is overconfident, if your child is, you know, already feeling, I'm great, so everybody else is faltu, then for such children, you have to bring them down and you have to teach them humility. So, you know, there's a balance there.
No, absolutely, because a lot of it's the culture of this generation that we, good job is, you know, you hear these two words every now and then. For whatever, you know, for whatever small things a child does. And it could be a natural thing for them to do. But for parents, they just say good job so many times that we, sometimes even I feel like we're raising fragile kids, you know.
They need to be taught that no is all, they will face a no in their life. Otherwise, they are raising kids who will be the first ones to jump off a bridge when they face rejection. They need to learn to face rejection. They need to learn to face failures. They need to learn that not everything will be a yes all the time. So they have to also listen to a no, and a firm no, but a kind no. So you can always be firm and kind. You can say, no, you cannot have this. This is it. You cannot have it. Simple. But it can be said in a kind way. It can be said in a way the child understands. You can explain why that no is happening. Yeah. Versus humiliating, shaming, you know, punishing. But
need to also be ready to, when we say no, there is obviously going to be some level of drama to sail through that. To accept that, okay, you are disappointed, you don't want to talk to me for some time, just let it be.
Yeah, you have to, and again, you know, parents, again, as parents, don't take things very personally all the time, because your children will say, you are a dirty mom, you are a bad mom, you are a horrible mom, you know, and then you will recognize, if you are aware, that they will trigger those parts in you. So if you already have a feeling you are not good enough at work, you are not a good wife, you are not a good mother, now when your child says you are a useless mom, you will either get super angry or you'll get super sad. And then you will react out of these two extreme polarities. If you're angry, you will lash back at the child and engage in a power play, engage in a, you know, in an ego game, which is never going to work out. Or if you are sad about it, you will engage in a guilt-based parenting, which is how you'll bribe the child, or you'll give in to the tantrum, you'll give in to the demand because you want the validation. If you're aware, you will have to recognize that your children may be triggering you. You will have to neutralize those triggers, which means be mindful. And you have to be the balanced one. You can't, if you at 40 and 30 can't be balanced and mindful, you cannot expect your children to be calm, right? Sure. So children will lash out. Even as teenagers, they can say very mean and nasty things. Half the time, they don't mean it. They are just saying it because they don't know any other way to handle their emotions. It is a good idea, if a child has been mean to you, said hurtful things, at that time, don't lash out. But later on, when the child is in a regulated state, in a calm state, it is good to say that I felt hurt. Instead of saying you were mean, and you were, say I felt hurt when you use a lot of I language. I felt very bad when you said this to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt very hurt and sad, you know, and can we please, what do you feel about it? And, you know, if the child acknowledges them, can we do something so that this doesn't happen? How would you feel if I did the same with you? So let the child, teach the child to think, to reflect upon their behaviors, you know, versus lashing out at them, because then you're just engaging in a war. And also, don't always be compelled to have the last word. That happens with parents. If the bachcha says something, I have to have the last word. Why? Because I'm the boss. Then again, that is a very toxic thing, because the child will want to have a last word. And I would always tell parents, it is okay if your child has a last word. Aap koi kam nahi ho jaoge. Aap chote nahi ho jaoge. Don't engage in an ego game, in a power play, because you are setting a wrong precedent again. If you back off, your child is learning to back off subconsciously. If you don't have the last word, your child is also subconsciously picking up that it is okay to not have a last word. Right?
So but sooner or later, they would follow.
One upmanship ho jati hai, you know, then you'll argue for 5, he will argue for 10 minutes, then you'll argue for 15 minutes, then you'll argue for 20 minutes. There's no end to it. It goes on.
And nobody is satisfied with that. So
there's no solution, there is no connection, there is no learning, except that I have to have one upmanship, I have to have the last one. Bas wahi learning reh jata hai, aur kuch nahi rehta hai.
Right.
We've been talking about not punishing the child, and you've also mentioned the 80-20 rule. But there's still one doubt in my mind, that what if they don't follow the 20%? Should we go ahead and punish them at times, especially if the child is not very young? He's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and can understand things. Maybe they...
I wouldn't say punish. I would say consequences. Agree with them on what will be the consequences. For example, sit down and say, okay, if these are the two things we agree on, okay, and I want you to do 8, but I'm not enforcing these 8. I'm just picking these 2. Can we both agree that you will do these 2 things? Okay, yes. Can we both agree that if at all you miss on doing these 2 things, what can we do or what should I do so that you learn a lesson, so that you learn to do this right, right? Let you and the child agree. And once it is based on agreement, the child will know, okay, I have goofed up and mommy has a right to do this, to give these repercussions. But again, they are consequences. Don't make it as a punishment. So, you know, depriving food, locking them up in the room, keeping them isolated, those are very punitive measures. Versus it can always be easier if you say to the child, okay, can we agree that you will watch 1 hour less of TV? Or can we agree that one day you will not use your phone if you don't live up to these 2 things? First, get an agreement from the child. So again, the child understands that this is a consequence of my not doing something and it is not a punishment. See, punishment is not necessarily linked to consequence. Punishment in our way when we do it is, you are bad, you deserve to get this punishment. But when you're talking of consequence, you are making the child connect that this is an outcome of something that I did or did not do. Now the child will learn that next time, you know, if I do something, there is a consequence. Am I ready for the consequence? Again, there is a lesson learned there.
Yes, right, and these right, consequences right. can be at the family level or outside. Maybe there are some consequences in school if they reach late.
That the child will experience, of course. So, like, if the kids don't do homework from 7 on 8, I have never, if you ask me as a mom, I have never gotten involved with my children's homework from their first or second grade onwards. Never. If they need help, I would say, can I help you? If they say, no, I'm managing, fine, manage. Only if they ask for help, I will step in. If they don't do their homework, they know that when they go to school, they have to face the teacher. After that, if they have lied in school also, they know that when they get caught, they have to face the teacher. So a lot of these things has to be their responsibility, not yours. Yeah. So the consequences, if they go late, well, if they miss the bus, if they go late once, twice, the school will take action. They have to learn. They have to learn that, you know, but as parents, you never let them face the consequences. Then it becomes your headache to send them to school every day. Then mommy becomes a villain because they don't even know why they should be going to school on time in the first place.
True.
Right. If they get the consequence, then they will realize and then they will reach out for help and saying, okay, I don't want to be scolded by my teacher, so what can I do? Now let me approach my mom and tell her, can you help me wake up on time? Mm-hmm. Now what have you done? You have given ownership to the child of the problem. You have also made the child think that if I don't go, this is going to happen. And you have also made the child believe that I am there to help you if you need my help. Now the child will come up and say, okay, wake me up. If I don't wake up, pour water on my face. Agreed. Do that then.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But it comes from the maturity. It comes from the child learning a lot of things in this process.
I think to emphasize this more, that what are the negative effects, long-term effects of punishment on child's psychology and mental makeup?
Yeah, so the first thing is that when there is by punishment, I'm assuming we are talking of physical abuse, emotional abuse, both, yes. Right? Physical abuse, yes. Is slapping, pinching, pushing, beating, caning, all of that, even violently shaking the child. And by emotional abuse, I mean threatening, screaming, shouting, isolating, threatening that you will run away, or depriving the child of your comfort and love, like saying, okay, mama doesn't love you, you know, or today mama is not going to talk to you for 24 hours. This is also emotional abuse. The consequences are far reaching, not only in children, but amongst adults. So first thing is, when there is emotional and physical abuse, children's brain develops differently. Okay, their impulsive brain, their fear centers are hyperactivated and overdeveloped, while their prefrontal cortex, which is a part of their brain responsible for rational thinking and planning and all of that, remains underdeveloped. So a trauma brain is hypervigilant, hyperactive. So children become more hyperactive, cannot focus and concentrate. They are always afraid. They are anxious. They are hypervigilant and all of that in childhood. And in adults, when we see these kids may oftentimes succumb to mental health issues much more with a higher probability than children who did not go through physical and emotional abuse. So whether it is suicide, whether it is borderline personality disorder, whether it is PTSD, whether it is depression, anxiety, even sexual blockage, relationship issues, even addictions and alcoholism, rash and risky behaviors are all linked to childhood trauma, according to research. I'm quoting the outcome of close to 300 research papers I have gone through, and it's all out there on PubMed and Scopus. So there are huge implications on mental health of children if they have gone through years of continuous abusive punishments. It also affects their ability to be functional. So right from having symptoms of PTSD, we've had clients who have been repeatedly punished by the parents, you know, physical punishment and all. They have symptoms of PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, as adults, they may have flashbacks, hallucinations, re-experiencing trauma again and again, high anxiety, panic attacks, fear phobia, OCD type of behaviors. So extreme perfectionism resulting in OCD behaviors, compulsive behaviors. They also have physical health issues. So they are more prone to, say, cardiovascular issues, more prone to stress-related issues, more prone to immune system-related issues, because when a child is in chronic stress, the immune system is also severely compromised. So I'm not just shooting out of my hat. I mean, this is years and years, two decades of research that I'm just compiling and telling you that these are huge implications. Now, in the initial years, you might find punishment is working because children suddenly become, you know, toppers and they are perfectionists and you get compliments for being the best parent. Your child is like always first, always good, always neat, always well-behaved, always polite, always responsible. But what parents miss out is when these children sometimes grow older, they do suffer from chronic stress issues and, like I said, you know, perfectionist behaviors, compulsive behaviors and anxiety disorders.
And maybe so, relationship issues as well?
Big time. Yeah, because when you have all these issues, then you can't have functional relationships. In fact, I just saw this movie Kala on Netflix. I don't know if you have seen it. It is on this, precisely on parenting and emotional abuse of child and how eventually the child grows up with all PTSD symptoms and eventually leads to suicide. So movies are talking about it, you see. And let me tell you, when it comes from a parent, it is very, because children feel betrayed, they feel let down. There's a lot of anger towards the parents when punishment happens. There are no lessons learned, right? So it is a problem. And I think there are much more gentler ways of parenting. People believe, हमारे culture में है, कि if you don't discipline and punish the child, then you are raising softies. Your child is not going to become tough. You want to raise tough children, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, the reality is completely contrary. Yes, your child just, you think you're raising tough children, but internally they are much, much more weaker at a physiological level and psychological level versus children who have been raised with more gentler parenting. The children with gentler parenting have more confidence, more self-worth, more emotional resilience, and higher chances of having a better physical health and mental health than children who are raised with tough parenting.
I think this statement in itself is extremely motivating for us parents to stop punishing children. So thank you so much. And it was wonderful talking to you. And I'm sure parents have had lots and lots of takeaways, motivation, as well as reasoning why we should do it.
Yes, thank you for your time today.
Thank
you so much for this opportunity. And I hope that this can reach out to many, many parents, because it is my vision and mission and goal to educate as many parents as we can on this from a scientific perspective, so that we have a generation of kids who are not carrying the fragments of trauma. Yes, package of childhood trauma. And we have more compassionate, kind, and better human beings. Parents, if they know why, then they wouldn't do a lot of these things. The problem is parents don't know. Most of the abuse happens by parents because the parents don't know any better. Huh. And they don't have the awareness of the repercussions. 95% of the parents, if they are aware of what this happens, what is the result on the brain, on the physiology, psychology, then trust me, they would all stop doing what they are doing. So it is about awareness. It is not about intention. I always believe that parents' intentions are always right. Yes. It's just that there is no awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for emphasizing. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you for your time today. It was wonderful talking to you.
In our upcoming episodes, we would be talking about green parenting. We are in conversation with Shalini and Gaurav, who are raw vegan themselves and are raising their children in the most sustainable way. We would also be in conversation with Mr. Chris Bhatt, the senior principal from NPS International Singapore, and he would be talking about how to choose the right school board for our children. So stay tuned.
Before signing off, we have a small request. If you like what we do, please subscribe to us on the app you're listening to, give us a 5-star rating, and drop us a review. Your small actions make a big difference to us. Please do share our podcast with your friends and family to help them raise happy and confident children. If you'd like to know more about Partners in Upbringing, do visit our website partnersinupbringing.com. We also conduct parenting webinars with experts. So if you would like to organize one exclusively for your school or organization, do drop us a message on Facebook or Instagram at Partners in Upbringing, or you can email us on contact@partnersinupbringing.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have a feedback or a comment or a suggestion, or if you would like us to cover a particular topic on the podcast, please do write to us. Meet you again in the next episode of Partners in Upbringing with another topic and a new expert or an inspiring parent. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and happy parenting.
The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.